Thomas has got, you know, I think he's got five rookies in the team already now. They're high quality rookies, you know, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, John Rahm, you know, top five player in the world. So he's got no worries about their quality in terms of the fresh faced guys. But you can see, you know, potentially why he'd want to balance that up with some you know, some stalwarts who are, generally speaking, still in good form.
David, we were talking about the particular format, which is a relatively unusual one in golf. And whilst you've got people like Fleetwood who've been doing very, very well individually, is it so different that when you are talking about him being a rookie for the Ryder Cup, that makes a big difference?
Well, you know, do you know what? You're only a rookie in the Ryder Cup until you tee off. That was my experience. You know, everyone's unbelievably nervous on that first tee. You know, it's some of the most exhilarating moments that Friday morning. I haven't done that. I teed off on Saturday when I played my first match. But for sure, of course, you're nervous. It's something new. It's huge. It's bigger than anything you've ever done before. But even the experienced players are feeling the same. So you soon get to understand that. And then once you get going, you're kind of off and running. So when you've got five rookies in the team, in essence, I think really you've just got to forget that you've got any, to be honest with you. You know, they're going to have to play a big role. And I say they're not, they're rookie by name, but, you know, it's not like they've scraped into the side without winning anything. And, you know, which is pretty much how I did it. These boys are, you know, top of the tree. You know, they're threatening for majors. They're playing in America. They're playing against these American stars week in, week out. And there's nothing to fear in terms of how they're going to perform.
Well, David, obviously I was remembering your 2006 performance when you barely played a full round of golf because you won each match so early. You obviously...
carry on, tell me more.
Well, there were 2 5-4 victories, as I remember, but one of them, of course, was in the one of them was in the foursomes, of course, alongside Paul Casey, one of the wildcard picks today. What's he like as a teammate? And also, in that unique foursomes format, what does he give you? I mean, he's obviously hits the ball a long way off the tee, which helps a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I played my rookie match with Paul in 2004, and then sure enough, we partnered up again in 2006 in a foursomes that time. I mean, he was a tremendous partner, you know, really, really strong. He's a big character, Paul. Hits the ball incredibly well. You know, he's a top-notch ball striker. And he's very self-assured. And when the when the important moments came along, he was strong as an ox. So I think, you know, Thomas Bjorn's had Paul in mind with his resurgence in form over the last 2 years. He really wanted to get him back into the Ryder Cup fold. Saw him as a really strong addition to any European team, and so it was no surprise that he got the nod when he didn't manage to quite qualify.
And similarly, you played alongside Sergio Garcia. It seems he might be the weakest of the four in those wild cards. What does he bring to the table in terms of experience?
Well, I mean, Sergio's the man in the worst form. No doubt about that. You know, finishing outside the top 125 in the United States is unthinkable for Sergio, having won the Masters last year. You know, there's some, you know, newly married, a new dad, Sergio. So big life changes after sort of 20 years selfishly going around the world, you know, following a little ball around a field. Now he's got other things to think about. So not surprising that maybe, you know, that change in lifestyle has had a slight effect. I would put it down to that more than anything. But one thing you do know, so I remember being at the K Club with Sergio in the team. And it, when we came down for breakfast the first morning, it was like it was Christmas Day and he was 5 years old. You know, where's my presents? He was so excited. The energy that came off him was tremendous. He just, much like Sebi did, you know, he just comes alive at the Ryder Cup. And I think Thomas is, you know, had that in his mind as well. If Sergio goes out and plays, you know, plays well first morning, and gets that first point on the board, well, you know, you've got such a strong player and a player that the American side will fear. And I think that's as much as anything. You know, he gets under your skin, Sergio, in Ryder Cups, much like Poults has done as well. You know, and so both those guys, it's not only the game that they bring, it's the character and the energy they can bring to the side.
David, you have hinted at this about the partnerships and the importance of the chemistry and so on. A couple of points. Rory McIlroy had a great partnership with Thomas Peters. Do you think he'll be unhappy that he's not been picked this time?
I think they probably will have spoken to Rory, and they'll have a good feel for who he wants to play with. I know if I was captain, I'd almost give him carte blanche, you know, within reason. Who do you want to play with, mate? You know, so that you get the best out of Rory. I don't think Rory needs to be putting his arm around someone and chaperoning them around the course. You know, I think you want Rory, you know, firing on all cylinders. You know, Thomas Peters, of course, was a rookie last year. But Thomas, you know, he's got a big game, you know, and I think Sergio likes playing with someone that can do similar things, you know, that he can, and that worked obviously a charm last year. Had Thomas qualified, of course, you know, it would have been a slam dunk of a partnership, mm-hmm. wouldn't it? I think though, having Thomas Peters not qualify and not exactly in the form of his life, you know, to have picked him specifically to have played with Rory was a real gamble. 2 years ago, you know, he finished off with a win. He was high as a kite with his game, and he slotted in perfect alongside the world, you know, just about the world's best player. Might have been a different story this time around. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure who's going to pick. The partner, Rory, to be honest with you. There's nothing, no one that jumps out at me as the obvious pairing. Paul Casey.
Yeah, can I just explore that more? Because it's always fascinating. Because this is such a different format from what people normally attribute to golf. Obviously, the picking of pairs is very important, not just in terms of chemistry, but the order in which you do it. Do you send your big guns out first to get a lead, or sensibly? Do you save them to the end, or whatever? There are endless permutations, aren't there? How do you think that will be managed? What do you think you would do in terms of that sort of tactical conundrum?
What would I do?
Yes.
I would go foursomes first, mm-hmm. and I would stick our best four partnerships, our best eight players out. In the morning, that's what I would
just to try and get ahead.
Well, yeah, just you know, I just go, yeah, our best, whatever they're going to do. Don't worry about that. I pick our four strongest partnerships, send them out, and then change it up again in the afternoon. I definitely have everyone playing on day one. I think we've got a balanced team.
Yeah.
That can afford for everybody to play. You know, every day. I think it's a mistake. To leave guys out to the Saturday unless there's some strange circumstances going on.
Because I'm really looking forward to it. For the first time, I'm going to be there.
It's all Brian's been talking about for the last 2 weeks, the fact he's going to the Ryder Cup.
But, I mean, one of the byproducts, if you get that right, is obviously, although the crowd probably won't need enthusing, it certainly will do that. It'll fire them up even more. How important is it to get that right on your side right from the start?
To get the crowds, or get the points on the board, you mean?
Well, no, points, the crowds, obviously. Listen, points first.
Yeah. Listen, Friday, you're going to have a ball, because that first tee on a Friday is unlike anything else in sports. I mean, it's the beginning of an event, and it seems to be almost as exciting as the end. You know, it's quite remarkable. The pressure that builds up on that opening tee shot is just quite remarkable. And, you know, so four ball, better ball golf is the easier of the two formats. Foursomes is a bit harsher, you know, and the games get into the games a bit quicker. I think I'd go with foursomes first. I don't know, can't explain why I would do that, but I would, and I'd probably have Molinari out first, to be honest with you. He's our, you know, just about our top man at the moment. Just won the Open. He's as assured as anyone in the world of golf. Whoever you're going to partner him with, I think I'd have him out number one. Stenson and Rose, clearly, you know, they're an incredibly strong partnership. I'd have them in there first morning as well. To go through the whole thing, but yeah, really come out with your four strong pairings and get some points on the board. You know, the dread for all the captains is to come out with a 4-0 whitewash down or only get half a point. You just want to be in the mix, don't you? And the dream, of course, is to come out with a whitewash on your side. You know, that's what you're after. But Paris National, it's going to be a thrilling event.
Well, David, just listening to you and speaking to you, I'm so excited. I'm going to set off now. I'm going to go and camp for my place near the first tee. Thank you very, very much for that.
Absolute pleasure. Enjoy.